Good evening, everybody, and welcome to a brand new series. This is Melacha of Mimachik, one of those little-known melachas that we don't really know anything about, other than, well, we'll see what other than will be in a moment or two. And we're going to try to learn the Melacha of Mimachik within the context and keeping in mind something that's ever so dear to our hearts. That's makeup and cosmetics on Shabbos, and wow, was I in for an education today. Oh my goodness gracious, I never knew there were so many different kinds of things that a person could theoretically apply to their bodies. But okay, I guess that will, all for the sake of Torah, we'll try to educate ourselves. I guess it'll take a little while for me to get into all the details of various lipsticks and glosses and toners and bronzers and all the other various things that I, even if I had heard of them, I not necessarily known what they, I don't have any sisters, by the way. So I grew up in a house with four boys, so this is, you know, okay. But we'll try to get to some of them. But again, what we're going to do now is we're going to build up our understanding of the Melacha of Mimachik. As we build to different aspects of the Melacha, we'll come to various applications of where Mimachik touches or relates to cosmetics on Shabbos. So first of all, one of the 39 melachos in the Torah is mimachik. What is mimachik? What? Excellent guess. You're close. Mochik, one of the other 39 melachos, is the opposite of kosev, and that's erasing. Mimachik is not erasing. What? Smoothing. What did they have to smooth in the base, in the construction of the Mishkan? Animal skins. Where were animal skins used in the Mishkan?
Curtains.
To make the curtains? No. The curtains were sewn, crocheted, whatever. Where were animal skins used in the Mishkan? The covers, right. Oros Elim Adamim, Oros Tchashim, etc. So we have covers of made out of animal skins, and those animal skins had to be, lots of things had to be done with them. First of all, they had to be, the animal had to be killed first. That's one. Let's back up. Zayid, that's one malacha to catch the animal. Next malacha is to kill the animal. Next malacha is to flay the skin. In Hebrew, that's called to be mafshit. What's the word? Pashut. Pashut means it's stretched out, it's flat. That's taking the skin off the animal and just, you know, just stretching it out flat, not, you know, along the curvatures of the animal. That's the word pashut is from. Pashut means straight, flat out, mafshit. Is to flay the skin. Then after the skin is taken off, it then had to be, I think we do mimachik, that's to smooth out, meaning basically to smooth out and get all the hair off, which will be a very important point soon. And then after that, it had to be tanned, which is a different malacha called me'abed with an ayin. And what else had to be done? I guess at that point, you're ready to have a baseball glove or a purse or a leather jacket or a pair of shoes or a cover for your mishkan. So there's actually one Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos on Daf Ayin Gimel, and that Mishnah is the one Mishnah that quotes all, that just lists all the 39 Malachas. And there, Rashi gives like, you know, one, two, three, very short word to just tell us where this where the Malacha occurred, or what is the meaning of the Malacha, and on this Malacha, Mimachako, Mimachik, Rashi says to scratch off the hair from the hide. Scratching off Megarer Sa'aro. Megarer, like in modern Hebrew, I don't know what the word gorer is. It's a drag, right? A tow truck is a gorer. Or a tractor trailer is a gorer. So to drag, to sort of press down and push down as you're moving to once to in a horizontal direction to scratch off the hair from the hide. Similarly, the Rambam points out it's not just from the hair from the hide to make leather, to make a hide into usable leather, is also when they would want to, let's say, remove tsemer or wool from the wool of from the skin of a sheep, that also would be considered mimachik. I have one question before we begin. Does that mean that getting a haircut is mimachik? Getting a haircut is a violation of which malacha? Once we're talking about haircuts, we could talk about cutting your nails, we could talk about biting your nails, we could talk about pulling off your cuticles near your nails, we could talk, you know, in a few weeks when it's going to get like cold outside and hot inside, and Can we get those little things in our along our lips that we just constantly pull at, and pulling that off on Shabbos would be which malacha?
Gozes.
So if gozes is pulling off hair or whatever else is attached to the body, like nails and cuticles and the like. So how is that different than what we just said, removing the hair from the hides, which is not gozes we're suggesting, rather it's mematik. Both of these sound like they're malachas of removing hair or something that grew from the place on the organism where it grew. Any suggestions to distinguish between gozes and mematik? Shani?
Perhaps gozes is cutting it off, but some of it's like you're cutting it off. You kind of have a part of it, but mematik is like removing it completely.
Okay, so you're suggesting that to get a trim is gozes, to get a zero, as they say in the Hasidic barbershops, is mematik. That's your suggestion. I like it. I don't think you're right, but I like it. Yeah?
Is it, you said anything to do from the animal already dead?
Thank you. That's the correct answer. The correct answer. Gozes is wild from a living organism to cut anything off something while it's alive. Shearing wool is gozes. Haircuts are gozes. Cutting nails are gozes. Once it's dead, and you're going to cut off that wool to, I guess, not the process, to process the hide, that's going to be mematik. Thank you. Correct. That's where at least one place in the Mishkan where we see mematik occur, and that's going to be the Av Melacha, how it was done in the Mishkan. Let me go to a Gemara. This is a Gemara on Shabbos afternoon. And I'll describe something that I don't really know what it's referring to. I did a little scientific research, and maybe some of the science majors here could help me. I guess if all of you are OTs, so you have to take science, right? Good. Fine. So the Gemara says, you're allowed to rub the outside of any kli. Let's say you have some kind of a wooden vessel or a clay vessel, you're allowed to rub it. And rub it to shine it or something like that, except for clay kesef with a substance called gartikun. Word of the Gemara. What's gartikun? Let's see Rashi. So Rashi says you're allowed to rub the kalim to shine them, except for gartikun. What's gartikun? Gartikun, says Rashi, is a kind of dirt that grows in wine barrels, and it's called alum. That's going to be the key word. Now, we'll see, we'll come back to this word alum. Alum is old French. Whenever Rashi says a word from old French, he always puts little schmitschicks, two apostrophes, to show you that's from old French, and that's what he did here. So it's called alum, this gargatun, how do you pronounce it? Gartikun. That's the substance, it's called alum. And it's primarily used for tikkun klei kesef, for repairing or for shining silverware, silver items. And you rub it, and since the silver is soft, it rubs off whatever stuff might be there, and that is mematik. Let's think for a second. If I take some kind of substance that helps me rub whatever material, like whatever kli I'm trying to rub, in a way that I guess gets stuff off, gets the grime off, gets the gook off, the silver, for example, that would be mematik. Now, there's a little note here that I'm not sure who put it in. I think it's Mr. Bar Ilan. Mr. Bar Ilan, when they were transcribing this Rashi, they said, it sounds from Rashi's description that this is, and this is, listen carefully, who speaks Hebrew here? Okay, so try this on. What is this material that's called alum, which is the same as garkaton, gartikun, that you're not allowed to rub on silver vessels? This is du tarteret ha'ashlagan. What does du mean, dalet vav, in Hebrew?
Two.
Or in chemical terms, bi. Bi. Tarteret, what word does that sound like?
Tartar.
Okay, bitartrate, we're getting there. And ashlagan is potassium. So we're at potassium bitartrate. So I don't know if any of you are scientists, but I did a little research, and potassium bitartrate is KC4H506, and otherwise known as cream of tartar, which you could buy in the local supermarkets. Cream of tartar, says Wikipedia, was often used in traditional dyeing, when something or other about the tartrate ions were used to adjust the solubility and hydrolysis of certain salts, such as alum. Interesting. That's the kind of metal that Rashi says was stuck on the outside of the, or rust or something that was stuck on the outside of the kesef, that if you put this gartikon and you rub the metal, you rub the silver, it's going to get that alum off. Next paragraph. Cream of tartar, when mixed with whatever, can be used to clean rust from some hand tools. So, what do we have here? We have some kind of cleanser that is in the way it cleans, it's not just by, I don't know how other cleansers clean, but the way this cleanser cleanses, it somehow has the ability to scratch off the grime that's sticking, or the rust that's sticking to a piece of metal, soft metal. So, with that in mind, how could we apply that halacha l'maisa? So I'll tell you one or two applications halacha l'maisa. One will be where the Shulchan Aruch cites this halacha that you're allowed to, if you want to shine a piece of wood, that's fine. You want to shine a porcelain plate, you could take a napkin and just rub it, that's fine. You want to take a metal bowl and just shine the outside of it so it's gleaming, so your guests will see the reflection and be able to, you know, fix their hair in the shine, the gleam of your spoons, your soup spoons. That's fine on Shabbos, except with silver, using this material called gartikon, which we just talked about, because that's going to be memachik, says the Mishnah Berurah. And therefore, what else is a thing that I sort of rub and therefore get little particles off, which would be memachik? Sharpening your knives. Sharpening a knife, which I know we probably wouldn't think of doing on Shabbos, but why not? Says the Mishnah Berurah, that would be the melacha of memachek, because that's what happens when you sharpen your knives. When you sharpen a knife, anyone take shechita here? So the first thing you learn in shechita is not how to shech. The first thing you learn in shechita is how to sharpen your knife. The way they learn to sharpen the knives, of course, if you've ever seen a shochet, or I shouldn't say of course, if you've ever seen a shochet handle a knife, you might notice that they take the blade and they run it along their nail a number of times. And then they run it along their finger, not the nail, the actual skin. And the point there is to check to make sure there are no nicks on the blade. And if you run it across your nail and nothing gets caught, you know it's an absolutely smooth blade. And that has to be done 12 times before each shechita. If you don't check it, your knife before shechita, we assume that it wasn't kosher and that meat will be treif. So checking knives is the most important thing for a shochet shechita to be kosher, because before you even do a kosher shechita, before the action is good, your tools have to be kosher tools. So what happens there? What does it mean that there's a nick? That just means that there's more molecules of metal in a certain place and they shouldn't be somewhere else. So when you sharpen a knife, all you're doing is sort of pushing everything back into place or scratching off the pieces of metal, the molecules of metal that shouldn't be where they shouldn't be, and that is going to be memachik. What does that have to do with cosmetics? Absolutely nothing. We're not there yet. Let's continue. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Shekom Yevodvarav. Something along similar lines is a story in the Gemara that says the following, and I had a hard time understanding what it means. This is Gemara in Shabbos Daf Ayin Hay. Gemara says, the way it works, of course, in Gemara is you have a Mishnah, and then the Gemara sort of explains the Mishnah. The Mishnah we mentioned had one word. It said there's a malacha called memachek. On that one word of the Mishnah, which didn't explain itself, Rashi says it means to scrape off the hair. That's what we started with. But the Mishnah doesn't say anything. Comes the Gemara, page or two or three later, and says, okay, what is this memachek? Says the Gemara, you know what memachik is? I'll give you a good example of memachik. Memachik is to scratch between the columns. Got it? Clear? Let's go on. So what does it mean? Hashaf, somebody who shafs. Shaf is to scratch, or to, like this is to shaf, to rub, to scratch between the columns on Shabbos. What in the world does that mean? So I looked around and I had a hard time finally a clear answer, but I should tell you what I got. You have to imagine, let's say, if everybody could look here, we have these windows in the back. Let's say you have a whole wall full of windows. So now, each window is, forget the glass, because in the olden days they had windows without glass, so just holes in the wall. Now, the hole in the wall has sort of, I have a portal. So right over here, There's the bottom. Here's one column. Here's another column. And between these two columns, there is a flat, open area that's the base of the window. What's that called? The window sill. Thank you. That's, I knew that was right. The window sill is between two columns. And to scratch that area of the windowsill between the two columns is what this Gemara is talking about rubbing between the columns. What's the point there? So I looked further. I looked at a number of the Rishonim, and I found the Meiri is the only one who actually explains it. And if any of you are familiar with one of the new fads in interior design, which you know, those of you who have been here before know that I'm into interior design, there's a big fad in the design industry right now, which are window seats. That means if you have a window, a bay window, so the architects now put like a little bench right at the base of the window so you could sit there. That's not a new thing. That's from the time of the Gemara. Says the Meiri, that's exactly what we were talking about. You have two columns and you have like a nice small area between it. The point is to rub it down so that it will be a comfortable place for you to sit, maybe with a little bit of a curvature to contour the, to follow the contour of the body, and filing down whatever, I guess, the stone material that the building was made out of, the concrete, stone, whatever it was, to make a comfortable seat for yourself between these two columns at this window, that is what this malacha of shaf bein hamudim, of scratching or rubbing between the columns. So people could sit there comfortably and rest in looking out the window. This is pretty much similar to what we talked about in the previous case where we're talking about scraping something off something before when we're talking about cleaning the rust off silver. Accordingly, let's bring another few examples of things that will be a malacha because you're scratching little particles, filing down the surface to make it smooth. So, whenever you use a file, well, when you use a nail file, it sounds like that should be exactly what we're describing. But a nail file, anyway, might already be a problem of gozes, as we mentioned before, because that's your nails are attached to you, you're a living organism, you're not dead yet in most circumstances, and if you are, you probably wouldn't be filing your nails, because you have other things to worry about. So, if you would file your nails, that would probably be gozes, but maybe this would, theoretically, if you're dead and filing your nails, then this would be memachik. But what else do we do that scrapes, uses some kind of material to scrape off little particles of stuff that's there that you don't want? That you do in not everyday life, but that...
On clothing, like you said,
food. Well, I don't know what you mean.
Like ketchup or something?
What do you do with ketchup?
Dry ketchup,
and you scratch it off?
Yeah.
I think you'd like a file. I don't know if that, I hear where you're going. That was more like tochin, like last series. Okay. Elana?
I have anything to do with, like, you know, that's not the silver thing that you use to scrape off, like, food in terms of, like, on a plate that you're not really meant to use that thing.
Yes, I think that's what you said. Somebody, I heard the word. What? Steel wool?
Yes, yeah,
steel wool. I guess in Australia they call it silver wool. Okay, yeah. Steel wool, that's probably correct. You use steel wool on Shabbos if you have to get the bottom of a... I don't know if it's only going to... Yeah, it doesn't only apply to organic matter. Even to, like, a pot. If you'd be scraping off something to... I don't know if it would be referring to food in a pot, but certainly if you're using steel wool to scratch off something, sandpaper... If your brother ever came home, you ever came home from arts and crafts class with a wooden thing and you have to sandpaper it down. So what malach, we all know that we can't do that, but what is it that we can't do about sandpapering on Shabbos? And this is similar to being shaf bin hamudim, to smoothing out between the columns, which is memachek, this malacha of smoothing out areas and getting rid of the bumps that you don't want there. But the key word that we're going to be focusing on is the word smoothing out, because that word is going to come up in other circumstances that will be a little bit more applicable to our everyday Shabbos lives. But before I take a question, which I'm happy to take in a minute or two, there's a very simple question that I want to ask about everything that I just said. When you have a building, like a house or a shul with columns and windows, and you fix it up. What malacha comes to mind in your heads? What? You said it. Makom Tadish, that would be if a kli, to finish off a kli, that's true. And if it's a building that's attached to the ground, you would think of? Bonin, building. And that's exactly what the Ramban asks. He says, Mr. Rashi, Mr. Meir, how could you say that Hashaf ben Ha'amudim, somebody who scrapes between the columns, is what I just described to you, to scrape the concrete or the wood or the stone between the two columns of a building. Anything that you're doing to fix a building is bona. That's not memachik. And therefore, listen to this. The same three words. Hashaf ben ha'amudim. Somebody who scrapes between the columns is going to be something totally different. Before I tell you what the Ramban says, I want to tell you a psychological study that you might have studied when you took psychology. There was a controlled experiment where they had two groups. One group, each group had a pair of earphones. And their earphones such that each ear had two things. Each ear had a different sound. The right ear had one sound, the left ear had a different sound. One group was as follows. One group heard the word bank in one ear. And in the other ear, they heard the cackling of a river, the stream, the flowing of water along a river. In one ear and the other ear, they heard the word bank. The other group, the other population, also heard the word bank in one ear. And in the other ear, they heard the ding of a cash register dinging and coins rolling down. And then they were asked, they were tested later on, what did you hear? So the group that heard the water streaming, swishing, and the word bank, they said something about, I heard a river bank, or a river, or something like that. The group that heard the clinking of change with the word bank thought that they heard the word bank as in going to a bank to take out your money. Why? Same word bank, but it could be understood in two totally different ways. Now, the words to scratch between the columns that we explained very clearly according to Rashi, says Ramban, you missed the boat. What you just described, Rashi, to actually take a file or some kind of sander and stand down between two files of a building, that's bona, of course. You know what Shaf Ben Hamudim was? Well, in the Mishkan, how do you think they scraped down the hides that they had to scrape down? They had two poles, and they hung a piece of hide or a piece of leather from these two poles, and they scratched that hide. That's scratching, or shaf, or scraping, between the two bein ha'amudim, between the two columns. Is that incredibly different? Totally unrelated. According to Rashi, you're taking a file and you're fixing a building. According to the Ramban, this is the Ramban's question on Rashi and his subsequent answer. You know what shaf bein ha'amudim is? That's memachik. It's what the actual malacha was in the Mishkan. They took two poles, they hung a hide from two poles, and they smoothed it, they scratched between the two poles, which is what the malacha was like in the Mishkan. And therefore we have the same Gemara, the same words, Shaf Bein Hamudim, to scratch between the columns, and you have Rashi who says something totally different, making a little window seat between two columns for a building, and the Ramban is talking about smoothing out hides that are hung between two poles. Just fascinating, you have two totally, really unrelated in every respect, definitions of this malacha of Shaf Bein Ha'amudim that the Gemara says. So that's, either way we come out with a point. The point is that you're scraping. That's clear. Memachik is a malacha of scraping and smoothing things out. Let's move on to the next step. Any questions about what we said about smoothing out between the columns? Go ahead.
Sort of a question about that. Are we only talking about things in which you're scraping this, the material, the same material, rather than like if you're using steel wool on a pot and you're scraping off bits of food that are on the pot, or is it only...
You're asking a great question. When you're scraping off, are you scraping from the base material or scraping the gook off the base material? I think the answer is what we saw by the silver with that potassium bitartrate, otherwise known as cream of tartar, where there was silver. Rust grew around it. I don't think we consider the silver to be part of the rust to be part of the silver. There's a coating of rust you wanted to get off, and you scraped off the rust. So even if it's not part of the original material, there are three things. There's the scraper, there's the thing that you're scraping, and the stuff you're scraping off. That answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. So why wouldn't soap be considered something that's a problem for Mimachi?
Great, let's get to soap soon.
Right,
you're using the cream of tartar as a tool, as a substance, to scrape the rust off of the silver.
The cream of tartar is like a powder.
I don't really know cream of tartar. I mean, I can tell you, it's KC4O5.
It's like a white powder.
It's a powder. So when you mix it with, I think, hydrogen peroxide, then it forms a caustic solution that, I guess, burns away the rust on the outside of silver. Excellent. You're talking one is a chemical reaction of sorts, and the other is a mechanical action. That's a very good point. It seems that both of them are a problem. Whether you're using, I mean, there is a rubbing action, but you're saying it's not just a rubbing, because if you would rub without cream of tartar, without this potassium bitartrate, that wouldn't do it. But it's the fact that you're rubbing with the this chemical help that's assisting you to get the rust off. But I guess when you have a rubbing action, and you are accomplishing removal of, a film or a substance from the base that you're scraping, that's going to be, whether it's more the mechanical aspect or more just the rubbing helping the chemicals interact, that both of these, I guess, would be, applications of this alpha law.
Okay, so really the potassium, the cream of tartar really is relevant.
If you wouldn't have the cream of tartar, I don't know if you'd get the rust off.
But it would still be mapping.
But you wouldn't be getting any rust off, so you're not rubbing anything off. But if you wouldn't be using cream of tartar, you'd be using a file or a sandpaper or a sander machine to sand off that rust. That would be okay. Like if you have a car that gets a rust spot, they could remove the rust. If you have rust, it spreads. So if you have rust on your car, you want to get some rust off. You want to get the rust off. So they could take a sander with sandpaper that goes around really fast, and they just touch it, tap it a few times, and that just scratches off the rust. You could probably get a chemical in the store, in one of these automotive stores, Pep Boys, or one of these other automotive stores, and put a chemical on it and stop the rust. I don't think just putting a chemical on it to get rust off would be mamachic. If you had to put a chemical and rub it, that would be mamachic. Okay. Now, that Gemara, after you talked about either one of these explanations of rubbing between the columns, whether you have Rashi who's talking about a window sill or the Ramban is talking about scratching the hide that's hanging between two poles, the next line the Gemara says, now that we explained what mimathic is, it's scratching between the columns, the next line of the Gemara says that I heard that somebody, I'll tell you the words because these are going to be very important words for the duration of the series, hamimareach. This is not the word we use until now. Until now we use the word mimachik, which we're translating as scraping is the best word. Scraping. Hamimareach, somebody who smooths, ritiya b'shabbat. What's a ritiya? Modern Hebrew and ancient Hebrew. What's a ritiya? Reish tes yod hey. You know the answer. I'll give you a hint. It's in a first aid kit. What? No.
Bandage.
Thank you. All the way from Australia. Yes. Hamimareach. Someone who smooths a bandage. Bishab. That's the modern word and the Gemara word. If you smooth out a bandage on Shabbos, you're chayav mishum mimachik. That is a. I think the words chayav mishum mimachik mean this is a tolda of the av malacha of mimachik. So mamachik in the Mishkan was, let's say, scratching these hides, and a tolda, which is the same point, but not what the action that was done in the Mishkan. That's the difference between a tolda and an av. Both are daraisa. A tolda, when people think of 39 av malachas, and each av malacha has toldas, the most common misconception is people think that the av malacha, the 39 av malachas are daraisa, and the toldas, the subsections, are darabanan. Incorrect. The toldas are also daraisa. Both are daraisa. The difference is the av was the form that took place in the Mishkan. The tolda is, you're doing the same thing, but that's not how they did in the Mishkan. So here, what are you doing? I'm smoothing something out. I'm not scratching stuff off. I'm not getting hairs off a hide. I'm just smoothing out which is accomplishing what was done in the Mishkan. I ended up in the Mishkan after I scratched off the hair from the hide. I ended up with a smooth surface. So too, if I smooth a ratiya, a bandage on Shabbos, that will be a tolda of the av malacha of memachek of scratching the hakos. So this line is the foundation of everything that we're basically going to be talking about in the context of cosmetics and ointments and smoothing on stuff onto our bodies. And what we do have to realize before we do this, get into the topic of, you know, smoothing ointments and cosmetics on bodies, is that the word that's used here is not somebody who puts on ointment or who puts on cosmetics. The word is smoothing on Shabbos. The malacha, again, to be similar to memachek, the malacha that this is, that's the av here, it's the action of smoothing something out. To apply something, to just put it on, is not the malacha whatsoever, not even in any sense of the word. There's nothing wrong with putting stuff on, only with smoothing. So accordingly, let's start with a whole bunch of things that you can do because you're not smoothing yet. Could you squeeze ointment or cream out of a tube? You're not smoothing anything. So there's nothing wrong with squeezing stuff out of a tube. Could you scoop an ointment out of a tub, let's say a tub of Vaseline, a tub of paste for a diaper rash, desitin tub? Could you scoop a scoop or a spoon out of this tub of desitin or out of this tub of Vaseline? 100%, you're not doing an action of smoothing. Could you put this stuff on a body? Put, not smooth, put. Yes, you could put it on a wound, on a diaper area, you could put it on the body. Could you put it on a gauze pad? Could you put a cream or an ointment on a Band-Aid? Could you put cream or ointment on a wound, Band-Aid or gauze pad? Yes, you can. If you have a Band-Aid or an ointment or a gauze pad that has cream or ointment on it, could you put it on your wound? There's no act of smoothing involved. Yes, you can. You can take gauze pads with ointment and apply it, put it down on the wound. You might not be able to smooth it around. Similarly, let's say you have a wound and you plopped onto it some cream or ointment, and now you want to put a Band-Aid on top of that hand with ointment, or you want to put a diaper on baby's bottom with ointment and a diaper on top of that. That's also, there's no smoothing action. All those things are totally fine. The only issue that we're going to encounter is the act of smoothing the ointment, the cream, the stuff that whatever comes out of a tube, basically, onto the body. So again, if I squeeze a toothpaste container, that's not a malacha of any sort. If I'm going to be taking toothpaste and rubbing on something, that's what we might have to talk about as we go. But I do want to just pause here for 1 second. If you want to go to sleep for 30 seconds, do it right now, because it's a little sidebar, and I'll wake you up in 30 seconds. Let's say I have an ointment, bacitracin ointment. We're all familiar with bacitracin ointment, it looks like, first aid cream. You have a tube, and you squeeze it. So what comes out? A perfectly smooth, cylindrical shape of bacitracin, right? So didn't that motion of me going like this, squishing, squeezing, since I'm forcing it through a narrow area that's shaped in a very definitive shape, a circle, the tube, the mouth of the tube is a circle, so I'm causing it to, whatever was in the belly of this tube is now being squeezed out through this small, narrow mouth that's a circle of cylindrical shape, and it's coming out as a perfect cylinder of shape, which is perfectly smooth. So, in effect, when I squeeze it out of the tube, I did smooth out. There was an act of smoothing. So shouldn't that be a problem? So Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says, no, he doesn't, somebody else says, that it is true that what comes out ended up being smooth, but were you doing an action of smoothing it? Doing that, squeezing a tube, is not an act of smoothing. Smoothing is, you rub your hands back and forth, and around and a smoothing action. To squeeze something such that it happens to pop out in a smooth cylindrical shape, there, that's not an act of smoothing. And B, when it does come out smooth, are you like especially excited about the fact that this is in a usable, user-friendly shape called a smooth cylinder? It would have been just as good if it was squiggly and not smooth. You know, like they have those Play-Doh toys that you stuff Play-Doh into something small, and then you press it hard with something and with like a pusher, and there are various shapes that could come out either squiggly or round or square, and just depending on the shape of the hole. Let's say your bacitracin ointment did not come out smooth, it came out with ridges. Would that make it any less purposeful as bacitracin? Is there any significance to the fact that it's smooth? No, the smoothness is an absolute unnecessary, you know, just happens to be that way. So the fact that it comes out smooth, we couldn't care less. And the act that I did, was it an act of smoothing? No, it was an act of squishing and getting stuff out of a bottle, out of a tube. So those two things, I'm not doing an act of smoothing, nor is what resulted something that I really care about. So those two things put together make it mutter to squeeze the bottle, even though what does lamaisa come out is a smooth cylinder of cream. Yes? When you put the Band-Aid on top, you are putting on a Band-Aid. You're not smoothing. You're saying it ends up getting smooth. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Specifically with diapers, and that would be true also. Yes?
Are you allowed to take moisturizer and just put it on like a dry spot?
1,000% yes. 1,000% yes, because there's no smoothing action, and therefore you could take a moisturizer, which you would not be able to smooth into your skin whatsoever. It would be an Issa D'oraisa of meh. No, not Mimachek, Mimarech. That's the name of this Tolda. Yes, what we're saying now, the world of creams and ointments is the Tolda of the Malacha that we're talking about in this series, which is Mimachek. And smoothing ointments and creams, that's called Mimarech, smoothing. Right? Scraping, like they did with the hai, that's the name of the Av Malacha, that's Mimachek. And here we're talking about just smoothing without the actual scraping off aspect. That's Mimarech. So this is Mimarech. So Mimarech is only the smoothing action. You can put ointment on your hand, you cannot smooth it into your hand. So somebody asked me a shayla, somebody I believe in this room, asked me a shayla a few months ago that they had whatever situation with their hands and they had to put cream on their hands on Shabbos, and the question was, and it was this thing that they had to take care of in maybe an antibiotic cream or something, or some sort of thing that really needed to be tended to. It wasn't just a little, you know, sometimes somebody could have like persistent psoriasis, so they want to keep something moisturized. But here there was a sign that needed to be tended to, like with an antibiotic cream. And I remember speaking to them, and we spoke about ways to get it on the hand without doing any smoothing actions whatsoever. Maybe we'll talk about that more. I mean, I'll tell you what I think I told them, if I remember correctly, that one very good solution, which only works on the hands and toes, but it's a little funny on the toes. That I had heard is if you take the ointment and squeeze it into a plastic medical glove, just stick your hand in the glove, by default, it will end up going wherever it has to go, all over your hand. So they don't have those for other parts of the body. I mean, you can maybe put that glove on your toes and let me know if it works or not, but that's just a way to...
You have just like a very dry spot.
If you have a very dry spot or a spot with, let's say, psoriasis or just a dry skin, you want to just plop something on it, there's no question whatsoever. It's mutter l'chatchila. There's a separate issue that we'll have to discuss, which is the refuah component. That's a separate and independent question to deal with. Is that a medical... Is applying medicine? That's going to be a different question with different parameters that we'll have to analyze separately. Lana?
You explained to me about Vaseline, how like putting it on like for a baby or just putting it on...
Yeah, so we'll get there in a minute. We'll get there
How would you do it?
Okay. Let's just finish the question, I'll do that.
So on this topic, there's no issue with squeezing a tube. I feel like there's always, maybe because of this toothpaste, I always thought the issue was squeezing the tube. Yeah, it was, you know, that there are people who will use toothpaste on Shabbos that are not, they're coming like little jars that you're not squeezing.
It's because it's
still have a pace.
I'm happy to. I didn't see Mefurj anywhere that you're allowed. I think I mean.
I thought the people that use that is because it's liquid, so when you're on your teeth, it's not so good.
That's I'm familiar right? with like liquid toothpaste. That's a different issue. But let me, if you've heard definitively something about squeezing tooth, I could double check this. But what I did see today in preparation is that the action of squeezing out should not be the issue. As far as I understand, that should be mutter.
I think it might be one of those things you just grow up assuming.
Again, it could be a different issue. A lot of things are muktzah. If, for example, you're not allowed to brush your teeth with that kind of regular toothpaste because it is mimachik, if we say that, I don't know if we say that, but if we do say that, so that just might make the whole thing muktzah. That's a different issue. Muktzah nachmas, it's not a kli, and therefore it's going to be muktzah nachmas gufo, which is a very high level of muktzah. They're not going to be able to move at all, even if you need the location. It's going to be very high level. That's not for that. Yeah.
So along those lines, if the tube is like almost empty, so then you have to really squeeze it out, and then you're pushing it with your fingers, does that make a difference? Because it's getting...
No, because I don't think you really care about the shape that's coming
out. Okay.
I don't think so. It's always fascinating that different questions, you know, sometimes I have like four questions on one side and then four questions on the other side. We should do like a sociological study about this. Okay, so let's talk about diapers. Diapers, we're going to... Halacha l'maaseh, diapers are... Some of you are certainly familiar. Diaper is the way a person puts diaper rash cream on a diaper. Is basically, as we said, you're not allowed to smooth the cream on. That's an issa d'oraisa of mimareach, which is a tolda of mimachik. And therefore, you're not going to be able to smooth or to apply or to rub the desitin or the diaper cream on the baby's bottom. So what do? We take a glob, either from a bin with our fingers and just put it on, or we squeeze it straight from the tube onto the baby's bottom, and then we just remove our finger. Let's say you take it with your fingers and just put it on. You have to make sure you don't like... Sometimes whenever you took something, whenever we touch things that are like icky and like oily and greasy, our natural tendency when we're finished is what? Is to sort of wipe them off on whatever we were applying it, so you have to make sure you don't do that, because that's smoother. So you can't wipe your fingers off. So you have to take the stuff with your hands, or a spoon, or some other kind of piece of wood, or the tube, apply it directly, no smoothing at all, then just diaper the baby. As the baby moves around on its own accord, it ends up getting all over wherever it has to go in a very good way. So, wait a second. That sounds to me like a psik ratio, doesn't it? I'm setting up a situation that indirectly a malach is definitely going to happen. Why is that okay? Okay, you tell me I can't smooth it, so I won't smooth it. I'll just put a glob and diaper it so that it will get smoothed. Okay, so I didn't smooth it, but I made it. And psik ratios, those are psik ratios because sometimes we also deraisa. It's not like it's even derabanan when you talk about psik ratios. So here, we have to add a few, explain a little bit more clearly, because there is a little bit more that's happening here behind the scenes. The way the Shemir Shabbos Kilchas explains why this is mutter is, first of all, the smoothing that you are effectively accomplishing. I won't say you're doing an active smoothing, because you're not. You're just blobbing on. You're putting a blob on, and then you're just diapering a baby. There's no active smoothing. But the smoothing does happen, but it happens... It happens indirectly. That's A. So it's being done indirectly. B, you don't really need the... Do you need... When you put the desitin on the baby's bottom, is it important to you that it be in a smooth texture, in a smooth shape? Why do you... let's say on Tuesday afternoons when you change your baby's diaper, why do you usually rub it? Thank you. All you want to do is a geographic achievement of getting it from here to there to there to there to get all the spots. You don't really care whether there's a little wave or a ripple or a bump in the cream. That's not what bothers you. You're not trying to do an act of smoothing something out, which is the whole malacha. Right? What's the av malacha here? To smooth out the hide, because you want smooth hide. What did we say? Shach ben ha'amudim, according to Rashi. You want to smooth out a smooth place for you to sit comfortably, without bumps, without nibs, without... When we talked about grinding... putting the knife through the... Bring the knife through the...
Sharpener.
Thank the knife sharpener. You want something to be smooth. When you have the diaper cream on the baby, you don't care whether that cream is smooth or not. You just want it all over. So you're doing it indirectly. And when something happens that you don't really care about, that's a lacha she'en tzricha l'gufa. Without getting into those details, it's only d'rabbanan. So since you don't really care about it being smooth, it just ends up being smooth. That's only d'rabbanan. And you did it indirectly. And, listen carefully, every baby, halachically, is like a chola. So once things are only d'asa d'rabbanan, we permit them for chola. A chola she'en b'sakana. And therefore, for a baby, for a diaper rash, we will permit this act of applying the diaper rash cream. Let's just take that last point, talk about what we spoke about with the medical glove a few minutes ago. Let's say you like to have smooth skin. So are you going to be allowed to put this, are you going to be able to use this kind of method of just applying cream and then letting it shmush by itself like they're putting on a glove? You're not a chola. We might only permit this to happen since it's indirect and you don't really care about the smoothness of the cream, you just want it to get all over. We might not give you that dispensation if you just want to have smooth hands or soft skin. That might not be sufficient grounds to permit you to use this backdoor method of getting the cream all over your hands, even nicely and neatly. That might be only something that we will give, or this might only be a dispensation that we'll offer to somebody who has some kind of sickness. Let's say the person who called me a few months ago, if they had a thing that they needed this antibiotic cream on their hands, so that might be a situation where it's a chol shein basakana. Oh, but you're not allowed to smooth, it's a nisa d'oraisa. So we figured a way to do it indirectly, where you don't really care if it's in a smooth shape, you just want it all over your hands. So then we suggested, put it inside a glove and let that cream get all over your hands, but not do it in a direct way. So therefore, we're coming out halacha lemaisa with all of these situations that you can't spread creams, but when there's medical necessity, when a person has a halachic status, which is not for us to discuss right now, maybe we'll do it another time, of a chol she'en bo sakana, somebody who's like an antibiotic cream or a baby, for such reasons, you're allowed to put the blob on and then put a covering, and then the movement, the natural movements will make the cream be distributed and get wherever it has to be in a neat way. Any questions about diapering with desitin? Yeah.
So just back to my question before. So applying that to the Band-Aid with the Neosporin or whatever, you're not allowed to do that.
So, if you have a little scratch, you should not be using Neosporin on Shabbos. If you have a deep cut that lets you slice some tomatoes on Shabbos and went deep, that's a Shalom sci-fi, whatever, to anybody, if it goes to bad, then that would be, I think, something that warrant, that would be like a Chol HaShem HaSekana, because it's HaSekana, you want to get some antiseptic stuff happening, you want to kill whatever bacteria needs to be killed in there, and that might warrant using cream. And then you would, again, you don't really care that the cream is smooth. You just want the cream to go where it has to go. And that which it's getting smoothed out automatically is not by an act of smoothing. It's just, you're just putting a Band-Aid on and wrapping the Band-Aid around your finger. So that would probably be okay. Good? Okay. Now, let's talk about some more applications of creams and the like, which again, I'm sure many of you know, and I'm not telling you things that you've never heard of, but I'm just sort of hopefully putting it in a box for you to understand it categorically. So we talked about hand cream. Let's talk about chapstick. Can I use chapstick on Shabbos? So chapstick, you're taking something, and the very act of applying chapstick, just zoom, just that rubbing, that's exactly what memoreach is. You're smoothing out. I don't know if what you're smoothing is the stuff onto your lips or your lips are smoothing out the edge of the chapstick, the top of the chapstick. I'm not sure which is the issue, but that will be a clear iser, isum d'oraisa, perhaps. Perhaps an iser. That would probably be an iser d'oraisa because you are smoothing out the chapstick. Similarly, Vaseline, if you want. If somebody has really chapped sticks, again, it's not so pleasant going out in public, but I've seen people like this. I don't know if it's on Shabbos or just they were a little awkward people, kind of people, with little, like, blobs of, like, you know, like they have a cut right on, like, the top of their lips or something, a little touch of Vaseline right over there. That's fine. Because, again, we're not getting into the refuah aspect. We're just talking about the smoothing aspect. There's no active smoothing. Just applying something, applying an ointment is not a problem. Spreading the ointment would be the problem. And now to something that will be, that's very difficult to talk about. Well, less so for me, more so for you. Lipstick. Lipstick is exactly the same as chapstick, and therefore lipstick would be prashtas, be an issa d'oraisa to apply, because that is smoothing the lipstick onto the lips. Now this is going to be true whether it's, and you're going to have to help me here, lip gloss that makes lips shiny. Is that a stick or that's a liquid? Only liquid? Is there such a thing as clear lipstick? Clear but like shiny? Yes. Okay. I don't know, but I take your word for it. I've certainly never used it. I only use the colorful kind. So even if it would be clear, the issue is not the color. The issue is the act of smoothing onto the lips. That would be the same thing as chapstick, whether it has color or it doesn't have color. If it's clear, that would be a problem of this tolda of memachik, which is memareach, of smoothing things onto, in this case, our bodies. Now, there's something that's very interesting to keep in mind with specifically lipstick that we didn't have with chapstick, that we didn't have with hand cream, that we didn't have with ointment. That's an additional component that we will also have to deal with very seriously, with not just lipstick, but with a lot of aspects in the Shabbos cosmetology, and that is the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Shin Gimel, the name of the siman is Dine Tachshitei Isha. It's a siman about women's jewelry and all the different ways that a woman might beautify herself and how different aspects of that could or can't be done on Shabbos in terms of different things of hair. And says the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Chaf Hei. Again, this is Shin Gimel 303, Sif Chaf Hei. Asur li Isha Sheta'avir b'shabbat, to apply on Shabbos, tzrak al paneha, because it is tzoveya. I'm not really sure what tzrak is precisely. Tzrak is some kind of stuff that you put on your face to make it colored. So I don't know, I'm not saying that tzrak is blush, I'm not saying that tzrak is, what else do people put on? Lipstick or anything else. It's something that's put on. There's the problem, separate and apart from applying or smoothing, is tzoveya, applying a color. So this problem of applying color could, well, he also says, and for this reason, it's also also to do kichol, lichol b'shabbat. And kichol was when they put like a blue kind of, that eyeshadow, like above the, not eyeliner, but like eyeshadow on top of the eyelids. You put like blue or various colors. That the Mishnah, the Mishnayos, and the Gemara is called lichol. The Shabbos, they did that in the old days also. And that, even though the way it was applied was not necessarily by smoothing on a cream, I don't know exactly how it's done. I will be more educated by next week. Really know that. I found an article that was very clear in terms of all the, okay, whatever. But there, a separate aside from the mimachic issue, of the smoothing issue, there's a separate and independent problem, perhaps of, well, we'll see, of tzoveya. Now, tzoveya, which is a whole another of the 39 malachas that we are not talking about tonight, isn't one of the 39 malachas. The Mishnah Berurah, though, on this, what I just mentioned to you, points out that tzoveya on bodies is only d'rabbanan, because tzviya midoraisa cannot apply to bodies. Whenever, if I take a pen and I paint my arm, my lower forearm, that might be coloring, but that's not going to be coloring d'oraisa. If I take paint and I paint the wall, that's tzoveya d'oraisa. If I take that same paint and I paint my little sister who I really don't like, so that would only be tzoveya d'rabbana. Even though it's the same act, but applied to the sin, since the receiving surface is skin, that for whatever reason, it's not for us, I don't even know the answer, that will only be d'rabbana. So the lipstick, there's a d'oraisa concern of smoothing, And there, so they, if it's colored lipstick, yeah, lip gloss might not have this problem, but if it's colored or colored lipstick, there'll be an additional concern of Sophia. Let's continue for another 2 minutes. And another 2 minutes or so. While we're talking about smoothing things on, we will also have the same concern with stick deodorant. Stick deodorant is a bar, and as you smear the bar across, the body, again, I'm not sure if the problem is that you're smoothing the deodorant onto the body or you're smoothing out the bar. I'm not sure which is the, you know, which side of the application is the malacha, but that will equally be an iser, or possibly daraisa. Now, again, the problem is not, deodorant per se is not halakhically an issue. It's just the way that it's being applied through this rubbing action. Therefore, of course, spray deodorant is perfectly mutter to use on Shabbos as long as it's spray deodorant applied to the body. Spray deodorant that's applied to clothing or to shetel, the books the Sarm talk about, is going to be a problem because that's, I don't know if that's like libun, that's like cleaning, that's like putting a nice smell into clothing. That's something that's not going to be okay. I got a fascinating shaila this past Shabbos, which I really didn't know the answer to, but this just reminds me of it. Somebody asked me after davening, can they spray anti-static spray on a skirt or a dress? I guess they have these clingy kind of materials that if it's staticky, it's very uncomfortable, it's not, doesn't flow properly. So if you anti-static spray it, so I was thinking to myself exactly this shaila, this halacha that we're mentioning now, spraying deodorant onto clothing. Well, the first thing I asked the fellow was, does that anti-static spray have any scent? Any kind of smell? And I said, no, it's just non-smell aerosol application. So, okay, so not worried about the, I don't think there's any halakhic issue with taking away static from, I assume it's just nothing more than what? The static electricity is because of electrons, right? Excess electrons? So, static spray probably just throws lots of protons on it to neutralize the electrons. So I never heard of them. Israel and Chavez are like proton shooting. You know, I mean, we'll have to see where things go in the next few years, but just never really, you know, I don't know.
So
as long as you stay away from neutrons, you're fine. Yeah, what?
So if we were to just put water on it.
Water is an Israel and Isa, a Libun. Water is Libun. You definitely cannot put water on clothing. Certainly.
To get it, like, to
get water on clothing.
To get
static.
Whatever reason. Yeah, I don't think that makes a difference. It's hard to understand. I don't know. We'll have to learn even another time. I don't know. I don't think you'll have to put water on. I mean, that's another thing that's going to come up in makeup removal. Could I pour some makeup remover or some water onto like a cotton pad? That's going to be an Isser Libun. Besides the shechita, when I'm squeezing it onto my eyes or whatever, I have to rub something off. But the Libun, pouring the liquid onto, we're not allowed to apply any liquids to clothing on Shabbos. That would be Libun. I don't know the status of the Libun, the rest of the Libun, whatever else. So therefore, I actually didn't know what to tell them about the... My only question was, maybe it's sort of taking away the static is somehow also like putting a liquid on, I assume that it's an aerosol can. It's not just the protons, you know, like flying around in the air. They're in a liquid form, just positively charged liquid, I assume. Could all check it up how it works after, you know, after this year. But there's some liquid. I was just concerned maybe shooting the liquid onto the baguette would constitute some form of libum or cleansing, like putting water on clothing, which is not allowed. And if I tell him I just don't know the answer, I suggest that he goes on his way after shul to pass the Bismarck and see if maybe Rashaf or Hassan would be there. Finishing off right now, just the same exact halacha. Let's say you have a bug repellent. There are two kinds of bug repellent. There's the stick deodorant kind, and there's the spray deodorant kind. There's stick bug repellent that you sort of like a chapstick or like a stick deodorant. You rub it on your body. That will be a problem. Again, because I don't really care what you're putting on the body, whether it's deodorant or bug repellent. They're very different. But the point is the action is an act of smoothing. That's usser. However, if you have a spray, like off, as a spray, you just spray it and that gets rid of the bugs, that's going to be fine. And finally, also, soap bars is going to be the same issue. When you rub a bar of soap, a hard bar of soap, which you certainly cannot do on Shabbos, the reason why you cannot do it on Shabbos is because, A, it's being memachik, and B, there's going to be another issue with soap bars, which, as Hashem will talk about soap Next week we'll talk about solid soap, which is easier to define, and we're going to talk about liquid soaps of different viscosities. That will be Bez Hashem at the beginning of next week. Thank you very much. We hope I hope I'll be able to get a clear picture of